This is Desiree Scales with High Velocity Radio on Business Radio X. Hello, Kevin.
Hello. It's good to have you back in the studio.
Thank you. Did you get blown away the other night by all the rain in Atlanta?
I did. It was absolutely crazy. My car looks terrible. I parked under a tree and got covered. So.
Well, it was. I was thinking about a lot of my friends and old neighbors in Chicago. My brother lives up in Chicago, and boy, that was pretty scary. All those tornadoes.
It was definitely.
Especially the Bears game. I mean,
it was postponed. Yeah,
it was.
I know.
Never happens, not even for a snowstorm.
Not
right?
at all. So it was definitely crazy weather.
Yep. Well, we have a special guest in the
audience. A veteran in the studio.
Yes, a veteran. And I have an announcement to make, too. It's funny because Sander Bean is with us today, and he's from Thought Horizon, his new company. Hello, Sander.
Hello, Desiree. Great to be here.
And he was on my very first show on the network. So I'm just so delighted to have you back. And now you're going to be co-hosting with me.
That's right. And it's like we can't get rid of each other, huh? We just keep crossing paths.
I know. It's wonderful. Well, they say birds of a feather, flock together. And we love marketing. We love sales. That's our passion. And I think, both you and I bring a lot of really good innovative ideas to the table. So I think that the show has just been, amped up a whole lot with your presence. So I'm really excited.
Well, thanks a lot. I'm really looking forward to doing it with you. I think it's going to be an awesome opportunity to talk to some thought leaders here in town.
Right, exactly. All right. So it's been a while since we've had you on the show. Last time you were on, we had Barb Giamanco. We were talking about social selling. And what are you doing now?
Well, I have started a new venture. I've started a new company. I'm a solopreneur, meaning I'm working by myself as an entrepreneur, selling services, consulting services, to help business-to-business sales forces improve and create relationships using social media. And it's really exciting for me because this has been a culmination of things that you and I have been talking about right for about the past year almost.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
And I don't see a lot of people that are really practicing B2B. I see a lot of the B2C, business to consumer. And some of our audience don't, they don't understand that term. There's business to business where, a large company is selling to another large company inside sales. And then there's the business to consumer. And I think a lot of the focus has been on business to consumer. So this is really exciting to have somebody who is focusing on business to business. How is B2B different than B2C?
Well, B2B is, in my opinion, it couldn't be any more different than B2C. Now, many of the principles are the same. It was interesting. I was at a function, a couple months ago now, and there was a CMO sitting up on stage, and it was a panel discussion.
Right.
And they asked her, well, what are you going to be doing with B2B, and how do you see B2B working different than B2C?
Right.
And basically what she said was, well, B2B is just like a few months or years behind B2C. And so basically it will be all the same stuff over and over again. Mm-hmm. And basically we will be integrating that when the market is ripe to do that. And, getting back to what you were saying before, I was kind of pioneering some of this stuff with the company I was at previously,
right,
through B2B. And when you and I first met, I was going around to a bunch of different conferences in town, some of them that you had recommended to me to go to, and talking to people, trying to understand like what was going on inside of B2B and whether what I had was any different than anybody else. But basically, B2C is much better understood. B2C is about liking me on Facebook.
Right.
B2C is about sending out a clever tweet during the Super Bowl. I was just reading about that thing again with Oreo, saying, you can still dunk in the dark. All those, it's about creating intimacy. It's about creating interest in a brand.
Yeah.
And inside of B2B, it's quite different. So the way to B2B, and I've been in B2B sales for 20 years, and
yeah,
I know you've been, you have it too, to some extent as well.
Yep.
I think what you just celebrated your
15 years.
Okay. Yeah. So here I am talking to you about B2B. But anyway, the way B2B works is you're talking to a buyer,
right,
and the buyer is somebody who has that function inside the company. So it's less about what they believe from a brand perspective,
right,
and more about what they're trying to get at from a requirements perspective and from a the ability to work with a vendor, to have a relationship with a vendor. So it's much more singled out relationship situation. situation mm-hmm. rather than a situation where you have a relationship with a big brand that you see out there, like something you'd see at Turner Field.
Right, exactly. So what is it that your company is going to bring to the table to a business to help them forge these relationships and develop these relationships?
Right. So the whole notion behind Thought Horizon, and we can talk about the name in a little while yeah. here too, because all of this goes back to a lot of scientific thinking. I'm hoping, and what I'm executing on is being a catalyst okay. for a business. So a business is trying to get involved in business-to-business social selling. They want to know, geez, how do we start doing this? What's the way to get it to happen inside of our business? We have salespeople here who might be using social media. Mm-hmm. We might have a blog where we are posting stuff, but we're not sure how to really in earnest get after creating relationships with our business-to-business customers and finding new prospects and therefore relationships
right.
through this social selling. So what I'm offering to do is to be that catalyst. I will come into the business itself mm-hmm. and sort of implant myself to help with those three things, which is planning, creating of the content, and thirdly, moving that content inside of social media.
So, I know that social selling has been a very, very hot topic as of late, especially at some of the conferences that we've been in. Dreamforce, I know there was that's going on right now.
Right.
And I know that there is a huge panel on social selling. Why is that such a hot topic now? What is that?
I think that people who are in business-to-business selling are finally realizing that the information age is here and that social media is a hot topic. But much like the internet, for those of us who remember when the internet first started to grow, I'm looking over at Kevin because I'm sure he doesn't. I have these digital natives at home who don't know what the world was like before
right,
the internet.
That's right, me too, yeah.
But people are seeing it like, wow, there's a huge potential here. There's a huge potential to reach people. And there's also, the carrot and the stick, there's a huge potential to be left behind.
Yeah.
And I think, depending on what the business climate is, I think a bit of that is going on. And I think that's why people are so interested in social media now. But the thing that's fascinating for me is that in a lot of ways, if you look at what's happening at Dreamforce and you look at a lot of the people we're talking to, mm-hmm. people are looking for a quick fix,
right.
as usual. They're looking
right.
to say, like, how can I just, be involved in social media, put a check mark next to it and move on and go on to the next thing.
Well, and also I think that a lot of business owners see social media as the trend. And it's more trendy. I don't think they're understanding that this is not a trend. This is a business tool.
Right. I mean, like, would you consider the internet a trend?
Right. No, I know. It would not be a trend. Although people back when, in 1999, when I was trying to talk people into getting websites.
Yeah.
Imagine that. Trying to talk people into getting a website. I mean, I'd have to really fight a fight in some of those meetings. Oh, we don't need a website. We have an 800 number.
Right.
What?
Well, and I think an 800 number is much more of a trend than the internet.
Yeah, I think so.
The funny thing is, since probably all the things that were published about the internet being a trend were written in places that aren't, accessible via the internet, we can't even see how much was written
right.
about, the fact that internet was a trend versus the fact that, because no one would want to own up to that right now, I don't think.
No, I don't think
But social media is exactly the same, in my mm-hmm. opinion. And, it's felt a lot like it for me. I was, very interested in the internet I know it seems like a weird thing to even say, but when it was first coming out, like trying to figure out like, what does this mean? How is this going to fundamentally change everything for us?
Right. And change behavior.
Yeah.
Buying behavior itself has
right.
changed because of the internet.
Mm-hmm.
People are not going to a store to find out about something, or they're not engaging with another business to find out about that business. They're researching that information first. And
yep.
then they're trying to figure out, well, how does that business meet my needs? So you are taking tools like blogging, for instance, and you're going to be bringing that skill into these businesses. However, you're not going to necessarily blog for the business owner, for the business. Your goal is to teach them and give them the keys so that they can drive the car themselves, correct?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
And being a catalyst, in my mind, is about doing what it takes to get that business going. So
right.
it could be up to and including helping them get content started.
Right.
But I think more important than just giving people content is sort of the notion of teaching someone to fish versus giving them a fish.
Right.
You know, the meal versus a lifetime.
Right.
Is showing them what it means to write engaging content, what it means to spend mental energy around figuring out how to say something so that it will be impactful to the people that they want to be impactful to.
And really, I think the magic to that is knowing your audience. It has to do with really researching who your customer is, correct?
Yeah. So what I do from the very start, and that's part of my planning phase, is to sit with the sales and marketing teams and really talk to them about, you know, what does it mean that, you know, what are they trying, what's their ideal customer and what are they going after? I was recently on an engagement with a client and, you know, spent a couple days with them trying to get this, you know, tease this information out, which I did to a large extent. But at the end of it, interesting story, I said, hey, do you have any customers who I could talk to? And it turned out there was one guy who had actually bought from them not once but twice.
Okay.
So he was at one company, bought their services, and then he went to another company and he implemented their services as well. Long story short, I got a chance to get on the phone with this guy. And just talking to him for 30 minutes, I had probably, you know, four or five different posts in mind of, you know, what was important about what that company did, because hearing it from the customer perspective, the problems that were solved,
right,
is really the way to approach content.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
So let's take a step back. What exactly happened that gave you the inertia to start the company? What was it? Because this is, it's a bold move to leave a major corporation and strike out on your own.
Well, there's there are a lot of things, and if I can, I'd like to tell the story. A friend of mine in town who I had worked with many years back. I was looking for opportunities just to talk about what it was that I was doing, because I wanted to, again, I was interested in gauging interest and understanding what people thought. So Product Camp Atlanta came up.
Right.
And as you know, because you were there too, this is where
I
we
was.
First
That's
met.
I met you. Yeah, I saw you. You got chosen to speak and I didn't.
Oh, gosh.
Because you were talking about Einstein.
Well, that yeah, that's talk. Right. And that's how, and that was my catalyst of being on your radio
that's
show.
That's right.
So it's all good. But I decided, you know, to talk about social selling,
right,
and I framed it around that Einstein innovation.
It was brilliant.
And thank you. But what struck me from the conversation and from, you know, giving that speech, which I prepared like crazy for. I mean, I spent a lot of time on the slides and a lot of time memorizing what I was going to say.
Right.
When I got up there, I was absolutely blown away that when, you know, I was hoping or thinking that people would want to talk more about innovation in general.
Yeah, because it really was about innovation and how Einstein used innovation
in
his work to come up with all these creative ideas.
Exactly. But then quickly the conversation turned towards social media and social selling.
Right.
And I was just blown away with how many people were asking questions, coming up afterwards, saying, you know, I want to, you know, exchanging business cards, I want to talk to you more about this social selling idea.
Right.
It was as if, you know, I really hit a chord with people.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I started thinking to myself, wow, this might be something that's missing inside the market,
right?
Based on the response I was getting. So I followed up with each and every person from Product Camp afterwards, and you were one of those people,
right? Right.
And I had a chance to talk to other entrepreneurs about a myriad of things, and first of all about my idea, which was very helpful, but more importantly about what it takes to be an entrepreneur, which is, you know, another topic of conversation that we can have, but.
Right.
It was just interesting. I started sneaking up on this idea of like, well, what if I went out on my own?
Mm-hmm.
Who would I talk to? What sorts of things would I say? And I started finding going more and more to these conferences that I was picking up stacks of business cards of people who maybe weren't necessarily buyers, but people who knew buyers or people who were willing to help spread the ideas that I had.
Right.
And it just started getting logical that I needed to do something about this.
Yeah, I mean, I remember dinner at the social shakeup. I mean, everybody wanted to hear your idea. Everybody was just, you know, championing the fact that you should do this, you should do this, you know. And so we were all rooting for you. And it's just very exciting that, especially for me to be a part and help you build your website, your web presence. That was really exciting for us to be able to do that.
Yeah, so let's talk about that for just a second, sure. If you don't mind. Yeah, I mean, so once I got to a point where it seemed like this was hitting a chord, it yeah. really made sense also to have a public space to talk at a high level about what it is I was planning to do.
Right.
Not only did it help like organize my thoughts mm-hmm. on how I was going to run this business, what I was going to do, how it, you know, what the principles were going to be around this.
Yeah.
But it also gave a place for people to come and sort of, you know, hang out and check it out and
right.
see what's going on.
It's your storefront.
It. Yes.
You know?
And it's been incredibly successful too.
Right, right. Good. That's good. So so we built the site, Bella Web Design. I'm going to put a plug in there for Bella. I got to do that. And so tell us about, and you were really easy to work with. It was wonderful because you really knew what you wanted. And I think when people go into a web design project and they have a plan, it goes a lot better than when people kind of rely on the web designer to make all the decisions. That can be tough because we don't always understand or know their business, but you knew exactly where you wanted to go with this.
Yeah, I was lucky in that regard because I had worked with a marketing company
right.
and with my just getting out my own ideas mm-hmm. on what I wanted, and we were able to take some of the marketing stuff I already had in place and improve upon it
right.
and make it visible on the web. One of the things that I thought was, for me, very much important was to be able to say that and have the web page optimized for mobile.
Right.
Because so many people look at it on an iPad or look at it on a mobile phone.
That's where we live. I mean, we live with these mobile phones attached to our hands most of the day. You know, and when we're at home on the couch, a lot of people are on their iPads or their tablets, looking and reading information there. So.
Right. And, you know, and for what I'm selling, it's mm-hmm. not something that you're just going to go online and order five of those widgets.
Right.
It's the kind of stuff that
it's
you browse. Exactly.
Right.
And mainly the way people
Philosophy.
Are going to be. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Mainly the way people are going to get to me is through a blog post.
Right.
That's probably social media. So they're going to be, launching to the site mm-hmm. to read the blog from a mobile device. So
right.
all the more important. And I've found that that's actually, everyone I've talked to has said that it's really made a difference.
Yeah. It's a very clean design. We call it a flat design, flat responsive design. And we did that on purpose because we knew that that's where your audience was going to live. But so, you know, on the site, you've got a couple things, your strategies. You've got your 3-step process, which we'll talk about a little bit, and then your golden triangle. Which one do you want to talk about first?
You decide.
Oh boy. All right. Well, I'm on the Golden Triangle page. So let's talk about that. And there's a nice little graphic on there that really explains very easily. You look at it and you kind of get it, very quickly. How did you come up with that Golden Triangle?
Yeah. So the Golden Triangle, basically what I was finding is that there were 3 points at which people were trying to reach others through social and really 3 disciplines by which they were trying to do it.
Right.
The first one is a sales savvy, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, knowing something about how to sell to people. That was the first one. The second thing was around content creation or the ability to write,
right.
to be clear with your thoughts and to use your thoughts in a powerful way with other people.
Mm-hmm.
And the third thing was about social savvy. And social savvy saying, now that I know what I want to sell, mm-hmm. I've got content, how do I make sure that content comes alive in the readership that's out there inside of social media?
Right.
And one of the things I noticed was, in almost any campaign you'd look at out there, anyone who's attempting to do social selling, all 3 of these elements always existed.
Hmm.
But the question was, were they throwing a spotlight into a center point around a customer?
Right.
And many times they were misaligned.
No, they're throwing the spotlight around themselves
right.
and their company.
That's right. So sometimes, people might understand, hey, we're trying to sell here.
Right.
But then the content was, right, might have been focusing back on the company.
Right.
And then the social savviness of it might be all wrong too, where they were blasting out self-aggrandizing messages that said, hey, we're great and we just posted another blog. You should check it out.
Right.
So basically you had someone shining a spotlight at themselves, someone shining a spotlight at that third person,
mm-hmm.
and then the salespeople up on the top end of this triangle saying, what the heck just happened? I thought
right.
this was somehow supposed to work together. And meanwhile, the customer's in the middle saying, I don't get it. Are you guys doing something out there? Is something I need to know about?
Hello.
Exactly.
Echo, echo.
Right. So it seemed like, you know, the Golden Triangle was about lighting up the customer in the center from a spotlight perspective,
right,
from every angle. From
and serving the customer. Right.
It's about, it's a customer first type of focus. The other thing I wanted to say about that, as long as we're on it, is that I think that there are two things that logically were coming out of the misalignment that was in place.
Mm-hmm.
One was around saying like, well, let's try to train salespeople to socially sell, which, you know, I know my opinion is that that's not something right now that's going to be easy to do.
Yeah.
I think in the future it will be something that everybody does, but I think right now it's not something you could easily just give to those people. Because the salespeople themselves, if you look at the triangle, they're going to be really good at the selling part.
Right.
They may have the ability to write, whereas I've heard people say that salespeople are abysmal writers, so I'm just going to leave that out there. I was a salesperson, so I don't think I'm a bad writer. But anyway, and then the third thing is around social savvy. So oftentimes someone who's got sales experience, and even if they can write, they're not going to have that social savviness.
Right.
So from a training perspective, you can't train someone to build the entire triangle.
Okay.
You're going to get two pieces at best.
So what do you bring to the company that doesn't have this in place? You know, what are you doing so that when you leave the engagement, they've got a solid triangle in place?
Right. So first thing is to model the triangle, to show them that number one, whatever we're going to do, we need to bring the sales team in, understand what they're trying to do.
Okay.
Take that social savvy, translate it into good content production, second part. And then thirdly, move that content through the social media channels as the third part. And it needs to be done, in my opinion, in an ancillary way, a way that's connected but separate from the core sales organization.
Right.
Because once you've built that, what will come out the other end of it is very solid leads.
Mm-hmm.
What I would call the beginnings of relationships with people. And once those relationships are built, it's time to turn that directly back to the sales team.
Okay.
So if the sales team sees that, they're going to say, you know what, this concept works.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's a matter of probably a marketing team in conjunction with sales to fill out how that will be done. Mm-hmm. And there are a number of different models. I mean, once the catalyst is in place, there's a number of different things you could do. One is you could bring a digital marketing agency in there, say, we want to take these principles and we need you to do this.
Right.
That would be one model. Another model would be, let's hire some people to do this.
Right.
Maybe there'd be people that already have in sales, that are already working in sales or in marketing.
Right.
And a third model would be to continue to work with me. From my perspective, while I would be happy to do that, it's my aspiration and goal to help organizations get to a point where they could do this on their own.
Gotcha. So would that also include hiring writers, good writers on the team?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay.
And, you know, those are people that maybe they would have to look for a skill set they haven't looked for in the past.
Right.
That can
be contract work too.
Absolutely.
Right.
Right. So from my perspective, if someone wanted to continue to do this, you know, you and I are very well connected inside the social world.
Absolutely.
We know where people with skills live.
Right.
And generally, the way social is, they live all over the place.
Yeah, that's for sure.
But being able to bring them into a common area is not difficult at all, especially because of the way the information age works. People could be working in four time zones away and you know, cranking it out.
Yeah, absolutely. I've seen international teams, especially, you know, with my work with the Infusionsoft consultants. You know, I was at PartnerCon a couple weeks ago, and it amazed me the international teams that were built around a business, digital marketing. They had writers, they had developers, they had designers all over the world that were all working together. It's a very different model, but it can work.
Well, that's somebody who's leveraging the world we live in.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's what I would hope to see from all my customers too.
Yeah.
You know, is that they start to understand, hey, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Customers are everywhere. Suppliers are everywhere.
That's
partners
right.
are everywhere. Just
yeah.
use it. Exactly.
Absolutely. So should we move on to the three-step process?
Yes, we should.
All right, because that's the next logical step. So let's talk about spotting the opportunities. And that goes right back to getting to know who the customer is, correct?
That's
and
right.
And then taking that and really – in sales, I kind of look at this as the opportunity to find the pain points because your customers have pain points. How do you do that? How do you spot those opportunities?
Well, I think the first thing, it's going to sound a little counterintuitive, but the first thing to know is a little bit about your own company. And to know what it is about your company that differentiates you.
I mean,
are you do you offer better service than your competitors? Mm-hmm. Are you more nimble? Are you, you know, do you carry more financial weight than your competitors? What is it that you have? Because you may have a security play, you may have a nimbleness play, you may have the David or the Goliath play, and both are equally valid.
Right.
And then once you know what it is you stand for from a purpose perspective, I think that the second thing then is to understand what it is that your clients need. Now, it's easy to say, well, customers want good prices and customers want great service and I don't know. Customers want more for their money.
Right.
But
I think value.
But during this spotting the opportunities phase, you need to think smaller.
Okay.
And what I mean by that is you need to ask yourself, where does your product and therefore the purpose behind your product, where does it best play?
Okay.
Does it best play with large multinational companies? Does it better play with smaller or mid-sized companies? Does it play better with domestic companies or international companies or where does it better play? And once you know what companies, and even if you know what verticals, what vertical markets,
that's a whole nother topic too.
Right. Yeah. Know? We were talking about that before with what you guys were talking about.
Vertical markets.
Yeah,
that's huge.
Knowing where your product is going to sell.
Right.
Once you know that, you now have two of the three pieces of information you need. The third piece of information that you must have is knowing how to map or tie these things together.
Right.
So what is it about what your company does, looking back to those differentiators again, that would enable your technology to solve a problem that those people would have? And you need to understand this right down to who would be the person that would purchase that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So if it's a problem whereby the facility is being shut down because connectivity isn't good there. I'm just making up an example.
Sure.
Then that's going to be the operations person that would want to solve that and have the budget to solve it.
I got to tell you something.
Yeah.
I gave a talk a few weeks ago to a group of international business owners, and I asked them, you know, I was trying to show them LinkedIn, right? And I know LinkedIn is a big part of your strategy as well, and we'll talk about that. But I told them, you need to know the title of the person that you're going after. How many of you know the title of the person that you need to connect with at the companies you're going after? Not one person raised their hand. I was in shock.
Right. Those are people who could really use the plan that comes out of step one.
Absolutely.
And, my design. But exactly. And,
yeah.
Because once you know that, the other steps fall into place.
Okay. All right, so let's go on to step two then. Well, we talked about creating the content and, you know, not everybody is a good writer, but we talked about a way to figure that out. You know, you can hire writers, but you would actually come in with your company, and I assume you have some writers that would work with you, and you yourself are writing, and you bring that. You teach people how to create the content. Is that it?
Right, and it comes back to the first step. So we take the mapping to create the content. So if you're going to be talking about any topic that's going on in your industry, you need to quickly map it back to how does it help a specific group of people do their job? And what is it about the differentiators that your company has that make that a superior solution over other things that are out there? It's not a matter of ignoring the fact that there are other ways to solve problems.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that you do that with your work. I mean, there are many different ways that business owners can take care of their marketing needs that are out there. But it's really a matter of saying, well, this is what differentiates my ideas from them. And this is why I think it's best. And then just putting that content out there in a way that says, I've got an opinion. Here it is.
Well, and that has to do with confidence. You have to deliver the content and sell with confidence. If you're not selling, if your teams are not selling with confidence, you know, you're pretty much out of the game. So,
and I think confidence comes from understanding those differentiators.
I agree. Yeah. The more you understand that, I think that's where you're right. The confidence comes right out of that. So, and believing in your company. You know, my husband, Rob, worked in the moving industry for many years. you know, and he was in sales. And the worst part for him was when the moving teams did not do their job, and when the moves went bad. You know, who would get the call? It was him. It wasn't the company.
Yeah.
So that was the worst part for him, was experiencing that, you know, because as a salesperson, you want to believe in the company that you're representing, that things are, I mean, we know not everything's going to go right all the time, mm-hmm. but at least, you know, I think the companies that address those obstacles up front, hey, this could happen, but here's a game plan behind it, I think they're the strongest, you know, in sales out there in the market.
I agree with you. And the other thing is, you know, you're going to have differentiators.
Right.
And maybe your differentiator is, you know, going back to the moving industry,
right.
is saying, like, we can get things quicker from here to the other side of the country. Mm-hmm. But maybe it's, you know, we don't offer the personal touch because we have a huge network of movers and, you know, not everyone's yeah. Bob, Joe, and Sally.
Right.
So if someone's looking for that personal touch, they're just not really a good prospect mm-hmm. for a company that's got those differentiators.
Right.
Now, maybe you want to have created another product that looks like that.
Right.
But I think understanding what the purpose and why are you in business? Why do people buy from you?
Right. Right. Know your corporate culture. Know your corporate values, mm-hmm. I think, tie into this, you know, and your mission. Know your mission. I think companies who know their mission and know their values and really don't stray from that do very well. And you have to understand in sales that there are going to be people who say no to you. And that's okay.
Yeah.
You know, that's you don't want to work with those folks anyway.
You cannot be all things to all people.
No, you can't. All right. So then engaging, once you've created the content, you know, everybody complains. I get zero comments on my blog. Nobody comments. Nobody shares my stuff. How do you get people to engage?
Well, the first thing is, you know, in order to get people to engage, you need to engage with them first. I know it's going to sound like a shocking statement. But if you're talking about, let's imagine Twitter or you're imagining LinkedIn groups, so two yeah. of the areas from a business to business that I think are critical in moving content, mm-hmm. if you haven't already been engaging other people and remembering who they are, they're by name, like, oh, so-and-so has put a post up here, yeah. and I responded to that post. I asked some questions back. Mm-hmm. I mentioned that I liked it. I objected to a piece of it. Mm-hmm. You know, whatever you're doing, you have to do it, obviously, in a very politically correct way. Right. You don't want to be like coming off the top rung of
right.
people, especially because you know that your day will come. Mm-hmm. And if you're commenting to them, it's just natural that they're going to feel that when they see your post, especially if your post is engaging, mm-hmm. and again, that goes back to step one and part of the step two.
Right.
Then when it's out there, they will feel the need to engage back.
Right. And they'll follow you because you are interested in them. And people remember that, especially the personalization. You know, they're not just a Twitter handle. They're
no.
not, you know,
no.
there's a name behind and a human being behind every Twitter handle. I think a lot of people forget that.
They do, because especially the way some people run roughshod
yeah.
In groups and on Twitter,
yeah.
you know, just creating so much content.
Drama.
Yeah, and drama, the content, but it's yeah. more the content that doesn't have any meaning. I mean,
right.
like, and I try to be mindful when I tweet and when I post that to make it, to have a purpose behind what I'm saying, so that there'd be a reason why somebody would possibly want to respond to this. And so that's that. I think that's the most important thing when you're looking at that engagement.
Okay, so you know, when I come to the table and I think about blogging and I think about my audience, let's talk about how important education is. Mm. You know, talk about education as part of a strategy to engage people and creating content. Do you think that? You know, in B2C, education is very important. You're solving a problem for the consumer. Does that same philosophy go for B2B? Are you educating necessarily?
Yeah, I think that it's a little less so, though.
Okay.
Because when you talk about business-to-business buyer, they're already educated on, you know, what it is they're supposed to know in order
right.
to be doing the buying that they're doing.
Okay.
So I think it's more about having an opinion about something that might be out there already. So it's a matter of saying, you know, there's two different ways to solve this problem. I'm a big fan of this reason, and this is why.
Mm-hmm.
And again, tying it back to those differentiators and your organization is helpful, even if you're not mentioning your company by name.
Right.
So are you educating? Yeah, you certainly are educating, but you need to educate at a much higher level.
Okay.
For example, if you look at, I do a lot with technology companies, mm-hmm. and you look at, say, LTE technology inside of mobility, right?
Right.
So LTE technology, most people have even heard of what that is. Mm-hmm. And just if you were to hit Google right now on your Mac here,
yeah.
Desiree, you would see, you know, I think it would break the counter on how many things have been written about LTE.
Right. And that's on my phone. That's what runs my phone. I was mad today because I was in Target and all I saw was 4G. Oh, I'm like, why am I only getting
4G? Where's my LTE?
Where's my LTE?
Right. But there's been so much written about it that it's exhausted. It's exhausted its usefulness. So when people are saying, well, we need to the marketing company or marketing organization comes and says to a technology company, mm-hmm. we need to educate people on LTE. The answer is we don't need to educate people on LTE. That ship has already sailed.
Gotcha.
What is it we want to tell people about LTE that's surprising, that's different, that's new, and that will actually help them with what they're doing?
Right.
Whether that person's in human resources, whether that person is a chief operating officer, whatever their role is inside of the company. How is it that LTE technology is going to make a difference for them?
Yeah.
It's much more important than just saying, well, here's how LTE works. I was looking at some tweets the other day for a deck I was doing, and a company was out there talking about, like, how many pins, you know, a USB port has and why.
Right.
I'm sorry, but, you know, people are busy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that type of information, while, you know, probably interesting on some level,
right,
it doesn't have a lot of use inside
it's
of
it. It's more of a trivial kind of
exactly.
answer.
So,
yeah.
So if your purpose is to entertain people, right. then that's fine.
Right.
You know, that if you're, I don't know, if you're some sort of site that gives information, interesting technical information,
yeah.
and it's a place where you come and that's your business model, fine. But if you're a technology company talking about that, unless there's a purpose behind it, like, you know, oh, and
right. What now, is that going to solve for
right.
somebody? You know, leave that to Gizmodo or somebody like that, TechCrunch,
right.
to cover that. You know,
yeah.
maybe that would be the trivia question of the day. But you're right. So, what kind of information could they bring to the table? What type of thing would you recommend?
Well, I think people squander the fact that they're in these industries,
right,
and that they are actually experts.
I like that. They squander. Yeah.
I mean, they squander the one thing that they have that really is of interest to other mm-hmm. people, which is like, what do you see going on each day in this? I mean, everybody knows what LTE is. Everybody
right.
knows what, you know, a USB port is. But the question is, what do you see happening with technology that could help?
Right.
And what are you seeing people do that could help me solve my problems? That's, mm-hmm. you know, from the perspective of the buyer.
Right, exactly. And so your three steps help identify the problem, identify, you know, who is having the problem and how to solve it, and also get them engaged in talking about that to tell you more.
Mm-hmm.
Because once you get the customer talking, that's where the magic happens.
Right. And I think, you know, some people have said, well, mm-hmm. who was I talking to the other day? I was saying, so you really think that social media will take over and be everything? Absolutely not. I mean,
yeah.
social media, just like the internet, is an extension of who we are.
Right.
And it's just the ability for us to use electrons and the speed of light to convey our thoughts as if we were sitting next to each other. So that doesn't replace us ever sitting next to each other. It
right.
just it gives us options.
Right. So who is your perfect customer? Why don't you tell us that? Who is your perfect customer?
Well, my perfect customer would be somebody who is very interested in being a thought leader and being an innovator inside of their own industry.
Okay.
And they have a business-to-business sales force, and they may even know who their target customers are.
Mm-hmm.
They know what it is they do well, and they know who it is they'd like to sell that to. But they just can't get it all together
right.
in one place.
Mm-hmm.
So they may even have a blog, a rudimentary blog out there.
Right.
But they can't figure out how to leverage all this. That's a perfect opportunity for me, because I can come in there and really help them put the pieces together. To take the thought, you know, use the thought horizon,
mm-hmm.
which is why I chose my
name. And we need to talk about that,
we do
too.
Need to talk
yeah.
about that. To take the thought horizon and move them past what they can see, which
okay.
is, okay, I've got a blog, I've got a sales force, I'm an innovative company, but I just don't know how to get past where I am right now.
Right, right.
Because that would be an opportunity. And whether this is a big company or a small company, I don't necessarily see one market really being better than the other for me.
Mm-hmm.
But anybody who's got an enterprise sales force and wants to put these pieces together,
mm-hmm.
that's an excellent opportunity and a perfect customer for Thought Horizon.
Okay, so let's talk about Thought Horizon. How did you come up with that name?
Well, I'm glad you asked.
Yep.
Because as you alluded to earlier, when at a product camp, mm-hmm. I gave a talk about innovation and
right.
I gave a talk about Albert Einstein.
Yes.
And how Einstein, at his time at the patent office, used a lot of workplace innovation to come up with many of the theories of relativity while he wasn't even employed as a physicist at
right.
the time.
Right. He was in the patent office.
Right. He was in the patent office in a dead
dealing end, with paper.
In a dead-end job. So I was looking for Einsteinian ideas
okay.
that would fit. And, you know, the information age does bring you places because so many URLs are taken. You
right.
end up like late at night looking at ideas, which I know you and I were brainstorming one night. And then
yeah.
finally, I was brainstorming with my wife, who was reading a book on Einstein. And uh-huh. we came up with this notion of, or she brought up this idea that Einstein's around the event horizon.
Uh-huh.
An event horizon
yeah.
is a hinge. And the hinge between what we know and what we can't know.
Mm-hmm.
And a black hole is often considered an event horizon. Hmm. So the reason we can't know is because it is so dense that it sucks in even light. And
mm-hmm.
if light gets sucked in, we can't perceive what's happening. And therefore, really, time doesn't the time that's on the other side of that black hole doesn't exist to
right,
us.
It's right.
what Einstein said.
Okay.
So I was thinking about like what's going on with social media today. And that so many people were bringing social selling up to the edge of the horizon.
Mm-hmm.
So they understood that blogs were important. They understood that they need to be social selling. They understood they need to be on LinkedIn and Twitter.
Right.
But they didn't know how or what was around the other end of that.
Is there light at the end of the tunnel?
Exactly. I mean, what's on the other side of this?
Yeah.
And that was basically the relationships that could be forged through social media, and that's
right.
the event horizon.
Yeah. So then you turned it to Thought Horizon because?
Because Event Horizon was taken.
Well, I think it worked out for you pretty well.
Yeah.
I like it. You know, because blogs are full of thoughts. That's
they are.
Really it.
They
and
are.
Social media, it's a brain dump out there if you think about it. You know,
we're
all dumping our ideas every single day and using our phones and our computers to do it. It's kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So what's next for you? You're just starting out. You've got your flag at the top of the mountain. You're here and you exist.
I'm here and I exist.
What are you working on now?
So I'm busy with business development,
mm-hmm.
and I'm actually very busy with the clients that I have in place right now and
right.
the additional ones that I'm talking to. So that's a great thing.
Absolutely. It did not take you long. I think, you had a client, almost from the first month, which is – I knew that was going to happen.
Well, thank you. But
I know. You were kind of
but it is,
scary.
But it is. It's a scary point.
It is.
It's a scary inflection point to be because you need to be always – as you know, you've been in business for 15 years. You
mm-hmm.
constantly need to be thinking about what's next.
You have to feed your sales funnel.
That's right.
Yeah.
But I'm busy on a couple different projects. One is
good.
I'm beginning – actually, I've written a rough draft of a book,
yeah,
great. Which is about technology and innovation in the workplace.
Okay,
and that will be coming out hopefully in the next 5 or 6 months. It's going
great.
Through the process of editing, which you know takes a long time.
Right.
So I'm really excited about this, and hopefully we'll be back on the show talking about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, absolutely. What do you mean? You're going to be back next week?
Well, all right, as a guest,
yeah, okay.
I have to say that. And I've also had the opportunity to teach some classes at Georgia State through
awesome.
A friend of mine, a professor there, Professor Yu Yu. And
uh-huh.
I was in there. She wanted me to teach some undergraduates in a marketing class, just a general sales, like what is sales?
Right.
What's it mean to do business
concepts
selling?
Concepts and right.
And it won't shock you, I don't think. That we got to the end of the presentation. I had one slide on social media
okay.
and just talking about social selling.
Yeah.
And every single question was about that.
Right. It took off from there.
Right. So now she's asking me to do another lecture on social selling.
Right, right.
Which is coming up. And I'm always looking for other opportunities to speak about social selling as well.
Right, right. I know. You know, it's so funny. I was thinking about this today. My goal this year was to speak every single month, and I've accomplished that goal.
That's fantastic, Desiree.
I know. It was a really fantastic. Big goal for me. So. Yeah. Very, very excited. I'm speaking at KSU, talking about students to their art students and their graphic design students.
Wow.
Next week.
That's a perfect fit.
Yeah, really. Yeah. It really is. That's great. So
be sure to show them my website because I think it's
good. Of course I will. This is about clean design, yeah. Flat design.
Right.
So, all right. So you've got some clients under your belt. You've got the book. You're teaching some classes. I mean, that's incredible. You've really taken the bull by the horns and, you know, really made it happen. What can you tell others that maybe in corporations now and they're feeling stifled, perhaps? Mm-hmm. You and I have both been there, you know. I've been, I can say this because it's been 15 years, but I worked for Delta Airlines and United Airlines, actually. It's very different working for a corporation, and you don't have the freedom, you know, to do necessarily what you'd like to do. But what do you tell others who are kind of thinking, gosh, you know, I'd love to do that? What do you say?
Well, let's get the jokes out of the way first.
Yeah.
So I got an email the other day from a friend of mine who had just noticed that I was on my own.
Uh-huh.
And he's been on his own for a little while with a small company that he's running up in Ohio.
Okay.
And he goes, my first advice to people thinking about going into business for themselves is don't do it. But he goes, now that you've already been past that, I won't belabor that. And
right.
Then he goes on to talk about you know, the financial stresses and strains. And I want to say this because I've heard that multiple times.
Right.
I mean, I probably talked to 60 entrepreneurs since I've been thinking about doing this.
Uh-huh.
And I think there's a real difference with mentality of abundance versus mentality of this is going to be hard, this is going to be difficult,
mm-hmm.
and you most likely will fail. So just, you know, you can get that into your head right now. I think feeling as if your ideas are important and that you're not going to fail because
right.
you know you're adding something important to the world of business, which includes big and small companies alike, is an extremely important thing to keep in mind.
Yeah.
And it's not just a matter of positive thinking.
Mm-hmm.
It also allows you to continue to be creative with what you're doing.
Right.
And this the corollary to all this, which is the thing I was going to say,
mm-hmm.
is that what I would tell people is surround yourself with good people.
Yeah.
Because meeting, you know, and you included, Desiree. I just want to say it on the air here. But meeting the right people who will help shepherd you through this process. I'm really not on the other side to help people to shepherd. So anybody
right.
listening, I'm not for rent right now. But, but you know, you and a few other select people
mm-hmm.
Were extremely encouraging. I do want to mention you had mentioned the dinner that we had. We sat down to dinner. I'll just say this for people on the air that we sat down to dinner. It was you and me and
John Ferrara from Nimble, who
yeah.
I'm speaking to next week. Actually, I think Friday.
Barb
Giammanco, Richard, I forgot his
Brasser,
name.
Yeah,
Brasser.
Up in Charlotte, yeah.
Absolutely. And there were
Jamie Shanks from Sales for Life.
Yeah.
So we all sat down and we were breaking bread and
yeah.
all entrepreneurs. All
right?
Entrepreneurs.
Yes.
There was nobody. I was the only guy at the time that was working out.
Yeah.
It wasn't his
You're
own
like,
thing.
You're like, oh, poor yeah. Sander.
But everybody had these unbelievable stories about
yeah.
being an entrepreneur
mm-hmm.
and things they'd gone through. And, you know, it just, to me, it seemed like it pushed me over the edge to do this because I just wanted to have those experiences too.
Right.
Because they really seemed like living experiences.
Yeah.
And for somebody who felt stifled inside of a corporate job
mm-hmm.
and felt that they had something to add that was really their own. I mean,
right.
I mean, I'm not saying the people inside of corporations don't add things. I mean,
right.
they certainly do. But,
right.
I mean, I felt I had something that I necessarily wanted to do on my own. And for me, it was the catalyst to get me going was just meeting meeting the right people and then surrounding myself with those people as I went through all the growing pains of starting this off. And I know I'm certainly not done. So,
well, and I think that a big secret, which isn't so secret, but what people don't realize is other entrepreneurs are truly cheering on those that take the leap. You know, it was so exciting for me to meet you and just see you wanting to take the leap and then seeing you actually do it. And, you know, we want to help. I mean, I think everybody has been, you know, everybody who owns a business has been in that situation. Do I do this or do I not? I mean, we hear Chris Brogan talk about kitchen table talks. You know, when I started my company, I had a kitchen table full of people that I loved, my husband, my mom, my sister-in-law, and a friend. And they told me, go for it, you know, go for it. You can do this. And you just need those people around you who are supportive. There will always be those that are not, you know, there will always be those that will say, what are you doing? Are you crazy? Mm-hmm. You know, this isn't going to work. You know, do you want to live paycheck to paycheck? Don't listen to that because, like you said, surround yourself with those who have already accomplished what they've set out to accomplish. It's very powerful, and they want to help other people do the same thing.
What was amazing for me in an environment like that, especially coming from where I came from, like generally if I was at a conference and I bumped into someone who had my function inside of a competitor,
yeah,
when I was in a corporate role, it was really, that was not a good conversation. It was very guarded and people weren't very, you know, they weren't.
It was, what can you do for me?
Yeah, what can you do for me? What information can I get out of you without giving you any information kind of thing?
Yeah.
And like what I found myself when I was being introduced to all these different entrepreneurs, like just looking for people who were doing what I was doing just to get their input. And like you said, it was amazing because everybody was like more than happy to tell you, like, don't make this mistake, or I made that mistake, or this is what you do, or this is what's been helpful for me.
Yeah.
And that's been great. And the other thing I wanted to mention that I thought about when you were responding there was, you know, it's not just the people who come in, but it's the people who, and the ideas that they bring. So one of the things that's been incredibly helpful for me is to read books on the subject of being an entrepreneur.
Right.
And you've recommended a couple to me, which I've read cover to cover, along with other people, like, you know, The Lean Startup. I mean, I would recommend that to anybody who's interested in becoming an entrepreneur, just to know what you're up against and actually help you get going.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. And Good to Great, that's another
good
book.
Good to Great, another one. Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of books out there, you know, covering that topic and a lot of good advice. But, you know, surrounding yourself and using social media. You didn't talk about this. You used social media to, you know, research what it was like to be an entrepreneur as well, right?
Absolutely. You know? I mean, that's how I got in touch with a lot of people. And, and when I'd find someone doing something interesting, I would actually reach out to them and say, hey, do you want to just talk?
Yeah.
And I've talked to so many people about being an entrepreneur. I don't even know. I can't remember all of them anymore.
Right.
Because I was just trying to fill my brain with, you know, what it means.
Right.
Yeah,
that's
absolutely.
Great.
I mean, social media, to me, you know, the social media is a way to find customers, find colleagues. It really doesn't have a boundary.
No, there's not. And you can reach out to people. And, you know, you're going to get some folks out there that don't want to share their, quote, secrets, even though we know there are no secrets anymore, you know. And that's fine. You know, that let them live in their world, and that's great. But more than likely, if you reach out to myself or Sander, if you're out there and you're thinking about, you know, making a move, reach out because we will get back to you and respond. You know, so there's just a lot more people out there, I think, that are helpful than are not.
I agree. Yeah. And again, that's that notion of abundance and feeling as if the world is a good place.
Right.
It's absolutely a good place. Yeah. And, now we're getting really philosophical and touchy-feely. Kevin's
chop throwing us off up in the corner.
But I do believe that it's an important thing to continue to tell yourself, especially as you hit, like, you know, I'm probably what you consider a middle-aged person. I'm not a young man. you know, and it's taken me this long to get to where I am, to make this jump and to be in this place. But for me, it's absolutely, you know, it nourishes me in many different ways to be here now,
right?
Because I spent really a lot of time not being here. And that's right. It's kind of the subject of my book, which mm-hmm. you know, hopefully
great.
We'll get into a lot more.
Good, good. I can't wait to read the book.
Yeah,
it's going to be wonderful.
You're going to get a signed copy.
Yay!
And so will you, Kevin.
That's perfect. All right. Well, great. We are almost done with, I knew this was going to be a great, you know, interview and talk about your company. So where can people find you online?
The best place to find me online, you can always find me on Twitter or LinkedIn by just looking for Sander Bean, but thought-horizon.com mm-hmm. is a great place to see what I'm up to, in the news area or what I've been blogging about. And it also has a lot of contact information to reach me directly if anyone wants to do that.
Yeah, perfect. And just really excited for your new venture. And I'm so glad that I was, you know, one of the people who kind of, you know, got you going and lit that fire under you. And I can't wait to see what's going to happen next with your business. It's just very exciting.
Thanks. So. That's great. And I can't wait to be on the next Radio X show to see some of the fantastic guests that you have coming up here.
I know. It's going to be a lot of fun. So next week, it'll be Sander Bean and Desiree Scales with the High Velocity Business Radio X show. Thanks, and have a great week.